Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And He loves us, and He's always with us to help us. He cares about every aspect of our life, and He knows what to do. As we trust in Him and do His Word, there's nothing we can't do. And everything that would possibly hinder us, the Lord would help us get out of the trouble we're in. You don't have to know how to get out of trouble. You just have to know to look to Him. And I have had all forms of success obeying God. See, trusting God is the road to victory beyond your present capability. I'm going to say that again. Trusting God is your road to victory beyond your present capability. Because when you trust him, you're looking to Him, and He's going to tell you to do what's going to work. And most of the time, you can't tell whether it'll work or not. And many times, it'll look like it's not working because time is involved. But you have to watch Him. If you trust God, keep watching Him. Believe what He say, but watch Him and listen to Him. Take it in. Receive it. Let it grow roots in your heart, just like the Word of God. We trusted the Word of God because it helped us in the past. We believe the Word of God because we received it. There's a difference between trusting and believing. I used to mix it all together. Trust, faith, belief, believing. Well, trust, I asked the Lord years ago the difference between faith and trust. And I asked Him because He gave me a definition of faith. I was listening to Mark 11 one day, and the Lord just, He gave me a definition. He said, faith is a definer. And the present condition you're in, if you take God at His word and believe Him, you have faith. And you can change the facts. If you're sick, you can change the fact that you're sick into the fact that you're healed. And you're redefined. Over time, you'll be redefined. They'll say, well, how's Mary doing? Well, she was about to die. And somebody that was recently around us said, no, she's doing good. Wait a minute. She was in the hospital in intensive care. No, that was a few weeks ago. Now she's back to work. Wait a minute. The doctor said that she was going to die. And it was true. They saw the CAT scan or whatever. They saw that they had the evidence. No, she's healed. They did another one and couldn't find anything. Her faith, she's redefined. Faith is a definer. A man could be on his way to hell, a sinner. Somebody just like in my case, somebody told me about Jesus and watered the word that I had already heard. People told me about Jesus, and eventually I got saved. And I got friends that knew me before I got saved, and I remember, you know, they know all the things I did, all the jokes I laughed at, the plots I came up with, the things I cared about. They knew all that. Then when I got saved, you don't do the same things anymore. And you don't have to tell them you got saved. You change. And you're redefined. So faith is a definer. So I said, Lord, what's your definition for trust? I was taking a shower one day. I said, what's your definition for trust? Because I just wanted to see if there was a difference. He said, trust is reliance. It doesn't do any work. I said, come on, Lord, help me. I want to understand. He said, trust is faith before you see, and trust is faith after you've seen. So trust is from the past. faith is current. Believing is current. Abraham left his father's house, his kindred, and his nation because he believed God. Now, he believed him. He had no dealings with him yet. Not to that magnitude anyway. And when God told him to do that, he did it. Which means that he believed him. Now, trust, one difference between trust and faith, faith is action. Faith is a verb, trust is a noun. Trust doesn't do any work. But when you act on your trust, it becomes faith. When you act on your trust and obey it, it turns into faith. But the good thing is, it's the road to take you on a greater path, greater than your present capabilities. And so when people refuse, a man can have faith in God, have victories in God because of his faith, and grow and learn. But when the Lord tell him to do something and he refused to trust God, he's going to stay where he is. He won't be able to advance. And remember, victory is a choice. And you don't have to be an expert to have victory. You don't have to be a scholar to have victory. You don't have to know what you're doing to have victory. You have to look to God and trust him and act on what he's saying. And all those other wonderful things I just mentioned, being a scholar, they help. Don't be dumb. stop learning. Don't put brakes on the learning process. Be a scholar. Become an expert. But trust is the way you do it. Because the Lord will take you beyond your present capabilities. Now, when it comes to the church and his people, some things God can't do in our lives until we do something. And sometimes we just don't know what those things are. So when you've been faithful in the past and you're ready for promotion, God will come to you and ask you to do something that you just can't do. And you don't know how to do it. You don't have a clue. And that has happened throughout my Christian walk. The Lord would tell me to do something, I would do it, and it would work. And I would doubt against it. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't always understand. I would wonder about it. But it always worked. When he called me to be an apostle, I'm like, Lord, I'm looking at how people treat you. And that's the calling that's the calling people aspire to have. And it's also the calling that people dread having. Now, I met both types. The real apostles, most of them try to do something else. They try to be pastors or anything but an apostle because they don't want the stigma. Just like I knew that people had been taught for centuries that went out with the apostles, and calling yourself an apostle is like that's like the first class hypocrite. And most people, they don't buy it. But I don't work for most people. I belong to God, and I have a vow on my life, and I have to please him. And I grew a little high. It don't bother me when people don't believe it, because it doesn't mean anything. But I'm not afraid to say that he called me, because he did. But before he told me what I was, he showed me what I was. And he helped me to see it. I experienced things. He gave me things to do. He gave me words for pastors, and I didn't feel qualified to do that at the time. And I remember the first word I gave a pastor, I had to tell him, don't fear failure and don't fear success. And I thought that was strange. I said, he's called to be a pastor. I consider myself a minister. I just love a man that loved God. And I knew I had been called to the ministry. So, but I didn't know what kind of preacher I was. I didn't know what my calling was. And he used me that way for about 2 years. And then in 1992, February of 92, I think it was February, he told me what kind of preacher I was. And I had been asking all along. But after he said, follow me, I stopped asking him. I just did whatever he said do. In 1988, I had the vow on my life. I told him I'd obey him. So I couldn't back out of it, and I can't back out of whatever he tells me to do today. So if God tells me to do something, I have to do it. It's not optional for me. And it should, you know, it shouldn't be optional for anybody. But the beautiful thing of it is, I acted on what he said. I obeyed him, even when I didn't trust what he was saying. I trusted him. I can't say I didn't trust him. I just didn't put the brakes on. I made myself do whatever he said. But every time I did that, he took me far beyond my present situation, my present capabilities. And I didn't think I had it in me to do some of the things he had me to do. But I did it. By his grace and his mercy and his power. And now, I look forward to whatever he say do. But now, the thing of it is, I still have the vow in my life, but now I confess with my mouth that I will do all that's in his heart. In other words, I'm embracing what the Lord wants me to do. And I do it with enthusiasm. I want to do it. I want to do all that's in his heart. Without failure, without compromise, without any form of doubt, without any form of unbelief. And these are things, the little foxes spoil the vine. Most time people are not faithful because they don't begin to be. If you're faithful in under God's command, and he tells you to do something impossible, that's a clue that you have passed tests, that you have been obedient, that you are ready to begin a new journey. And everybody that do these things, they know what I'm talking about. The people that chicken out, they don't know what I'm talking about. Jesus never chickened out. Our master didn't chicken out. He stayed on the cross and died for us. He did everything on the list. He fulfilled every prophetic word spoken about him up to this point. Before he died, he fulfilled everything before he died and rose again. And now we're banking on the fact that he will return, because he already won the victory. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he's coming back for his people who love him. And who are ready. And I know preachers like to say, well, if you get in sin or whatever, God will forgive. He'll forgive you. But if you're in sin when he come back, I'm sorry, you're just not going in the rapture. And he forgiven us from all of our sins that are past. People like to say past, present, future. Present and future. Present, you have to ask for it. In the Old Testament, before grace, God winked at sin. Now he requires everybody to repent. There's no reason to live a life of darkness. Now Jesus warned us about it. So the only way that he died, that he cleansed us from sins, past, present, and future. Present, you have to be willing to, you have to ask for forgiveness and repent and turn from the sin and not let it be part of your life. Now, the word repentance, that's a good word. It's a strong word. But the word has been watered down because of the way people present it. A better word for repentance is rejecting sin. If we reject our sins, or, you know, when Hebrews went to Canaan land, they were supposed to drive out all the Canaanites. They weren't supposed to leave any of them or make a deal with any of them. They were supposed to drive them out. And the Gibeonites, they tricked Israel. And Joshua made a deal with them. And there were tribes like Dan that didn't drive out the people like they were supposed to. They were always lazy about fighting. They stayed in the boats when Deborah was on the scene. They didn't get out of their ships. And now they're missing in Revelation. They were the worst fighters. Even though Samson was a Danite. But they were the worst fighters, and they're not even in the book of Revelation. They're replaced with Manasseh of all people. So now what you have to deal with, if you're not going to fight, see, the judges set the pace of what happened to Israel. Because what the ancestors did, it put in motion what their descendants would do. Now, Judah was the best fighter because they looked to the Lord. That's why they were the best fighters. They looked to the Lord. They always went beyond their present capabilities in every battle because they looked to the Lord more than any other tribe. Nevertheless, you have to follow the King of Kings in order to fulfill your destiny. I'm not talking about a destiny that you'll be satisfied with. I'm talking about the destiny that will satisfy the holiness, the wisdom, and the love of God. If you're going to satisfy that destiny, you have to watch Him. You can't look at the success. You can't look at the failures. You can't look at the problems. You can't look at the people. You have to understand God is working. And He's doing greater things. Sometimes if we don't get what we want, we feel like we fail. That's not true. Sometimes the Lord has to expose situations to others besides yourself. Sometimes He has to expose what is. He's working with people. People make choices. You know, victory is a choice. Failure is a choice. Learning is a choice. Foolishness is a choice. Wisdom is a choice. Love is a choice. Hate is a choice. Everything people do is a choice. But victory is a choice. And if you don't know how to attain it, you know, just like I was in many situations, I said, I'm going to learn this. And a peace of God just came over me. I knew that I was going to learn it. I knew I pleased God when I said that. I didn't have a clue about how I was going to learn some of the things that I learned. But things that was problematic in my life, I said, I'm going to learn how to defeat this. And I confessed it. You know, I'm a student of Charles Capps, too. And when I had an obstacle, I would speak it. I would speak the word so I could kill it. And nobody taught that. I never heard anybody teach it that way. When it came to, anything I wanted to learn, I confessed that I understood it, that I would have it. Now, I have heard people say, I remember Elder Lewis would say things like that, but when it came to, temptation, nobody thought that they could be free from it. They thought they were stuck in Romans chapter 7. Well, if you read Romans chapter 8, it tells you how to live in the Spirit. And nothing has to nag you the rest of your life. A lot of men are afraid of temptation, and that's why they're connected to it. In other words, fear connects your life to Satan's life. But when you kill fear and you embrace love, the love of God, the love of God drives out fear. Now, I know without all the details, it may not make sense to you, but no matter, I learned something about love. When you have the love of God in you, that's the most powerful force there is. And the Lord taught me to love the women that was attempting to tempt me and not fear them. Now that's the very short version of it. But a lot of other things were taught also. Everything I could find in the Word of God, I would practice it. But that's what worked. And I did in His strength, not mine. So if you're going to master something in your strength, it's not going to work. And you're going to fail, and you're going to be wondering why you fail. But if you do it in His strength, I love them in His strength. And perfect love cast out fear. Once I knew what to attack, I attacked it, and it was over. I hadn't been tempted since. But I don't take anything lightly. I confess the word. I say, Satan, you can't tempt me. The best man, when I got married the first time, he said, if you're ever tempted with a woman, don't just pray for yourself, pray for her too. I said, that's a good idea. He learned that from Elder Lewis. And it works. So when I used to walk in authority. So I would tell Satan, he can't tempt me. And you can't tempt her. You can't tempt me with her. You can't tempt her with me. Kill it on both ends. And then I pray for her. I pray for her salvation. I pray for her life. Ask God to bless her with a good husband. You know, I just go on and on. We'll just make a revival out of this. With God, all things are possible. Don't laugh at me. That's what I did. And it works. When you follow God, it works. If it didn't work, I'd probably be dead. Because I knew that if I had sinned, the enemy had a plan. He had a plot to kill me. I knew this. God didn't tell me. I just knew it. And then one day, he did try to kill me. So the Lord told me, Satan wants to kill you. And I've sensed the presence of death for a few days. I saw the next day, I sensed the death. I sensed the spirit of death from the moment God told me he wanted to kill me till that Monday evening when Mr. Austin prayed for me. And after I left his front porch, after he prayed for me, just like I saw in the vision, I never sensed that spirit of death again. Also, when somebody upsets you and make you mad, and you want to handle things biblically, I like to do it this way. I say, Satan, you can't use them against me, and you can't use me against them. And the love of God will prevail in this situation, and it works. And you know, when things are solved, and you can pray for your relationships. People that's offended against you. And people, offenses are going to happen. People will get upset. They don't always see things the way they truly are. Sometimes people get mad because of the way that they perceive a situation. But that's when you involve God. And you trust Him on it. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. It's going to work. Now, relationships are on the line. Sometimes when you trust God, a lot of other things get healed along the way. But if the process never begins, how can it end? The processes of God need to come to an end where there's victory or finished. See, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. A lot of times people start in faith and then they stop somewhere. Well, the faith never gets finished. So when faith is finished, you learn things you can't learn any other way. A lot of the things that I learned from studying and receiving and God opening my understanding. But you don't finish learning till you practice it. But God wants to move along. He's always in motion. But people are not always in motion with Him. They're in motion, but they're in motion for doing things that they want to do. Now, the way leaven works, the leaven of darkness, if you go down that route, if you take a detour, what will become important to you is things of darkness. And when that happens, you lose your appetite for what's right. A lot of people these days are not hungry to know God. And if some, if God used somebody that they don't, that they look down upon, they get offended. And God won't build on that kind of foundation. And in the near future, as God let me, I'm gonna read what Future Pickett wrote before I was born. The same things I'm saying now. This last revival God is doing, He's not going to use people that have pride problems. It's just not going to happen. He's going to use people that love Him, love His people, and share His heart. And when people are offended, because some, just like Saul was offended to David, they're not going to be in that revival. If anything, they might get saved in that revival, but they're not going to be used in that revival. God is hiding His face from people who hide from Him. Simple as that. And they can't figure out what's wrong, because then you have to follow God. You have to learn His ways and do His ways, do His word. And people are doing other things beside His word. And tradition won't work. You have to trust God and take Him at face value. You have to trust Him. And you have to believe Him. You have to believe His written word. And you have to share His heart. And what I mean by that is, Jesus put it this way in Romans chapter 8. Unless a man have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. The Spirit of Christ. That's the way of Christ. I used to think it was the Holy Spirit. No, He's not talking about the Holy Spirit right there. He's talking about His ways, which comes from the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to shut out the Holy Spirit, of course, but the way of Christ. He trusted His Father. He fulfilled His mission. The things of God was important to Him. The heart of God was important to Christ. So the heart of Christ should be important to us. Jesus didn't go around doing bad. He went about doing good. If you're washed in His blood, you take on His nature. You have His ways. You have His, the spirit, just like the spirit of Jesus, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. Well, we come in the spirit of Christ. Jesus said, I say come. And the church say come. He was speaking for us because it's true. People that love God, they can't wait for somebody to come into the kingdom of God. Even their enemies. Even people they dreaded. You know, I thought of everybody that upset me and I forgave them. And I remember that, you know, being black in the South, my family was once slaves. My name Hamby used to be Hamby. And I knew that God loved all men, and I knew that God loved people, and people change over time, and people are rude. That's just the way it is. You know, when it comes to racism, that's not a racial problem. That's a sin problem, more than a racial problem. And bigotry exists, I know that. I've seen it in my own race. I've seen bigotry. People think they're better than others. They won't talk to people sometimes. And I'm talking about the same, they're in the same race, but they're some people, if they feel like they outrank you, they won't even give you the time. They won't talk to you. I mean, I've seen all kind of evils. And there are good people that have excelled in life, and they're kind. They'll help anybody. But some people won't even talk to you. You know, if they feel like they're better than you or whatever. That's a sin problem. Bigotry is, you know, and people don't bring it up, but it's everybody knows it. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's how some people are. And I shared the heart of Christ, I saw His nature, I saw His ways, and I saw His love towards mankind. And I started to I saw people different. So when I was asking the Lord to forgive me of my sins, and I knew that I needed to forgive others, I forgave the people that were slave owners against my family. I forgave them. And guess what happened to me? I healed. Then I thought about the Klan. I used to hate the way that the Klan did things. I said, they're just people. They got deceived by some lie or some, you know, fancy to them, some bigotry, something that ain't right. And they people that need deliverance. It's just like people that get in a gang and we want our children out of that gang. It's the same thing. So I forgave the Klan. And guess what happened to me? I saw people different. I pleased God. I was willing for once to forgive my enemy. I knew if I could forgive the Klan, I could forgive anybody. But people in the Ku Klux Klan are people. A mechanic friend of mine, a man helped him become a better mechanic or encouraged him. And this guy was a grand draft. He saw, and he knew it because he saw his ring. He knew what the ring was. Nevertheless, people are people. And so I don't hate people. I let people live. I want people to live. I treat people the way I want to be treated. And it works. It pleases God. And everything that's not of God got to go. Now, when I say that, everything, you know, you can, all it takes is a leaven of darkness. And you'll go down a road you really don't want to go down. One thing I learned in this life, don't protect something that's not protecting you. Don't protect darkness. Receive the light of God's word and enjoy.